Archie Manning was so stylish. Like, mm-hmm. he was, like, timeless. Like, he had like, the yellow knit sweater and the red glasses in the 90s, like, just Sally Jesse Raphaeling it up.
And these are the things she notices.
People yeah. forget what a great athlete Archie was because
he was on a shit team.
Such shit teams. And people also forget
what a
great...
He only played for one team, didn't he?
No, he played for the Saints. He played for the Oilers for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. He played for the Oilers?
Mm-hmm. And people forget what a great athlete Joe Namath was before he got injured.
Injured or drunk?
Alabama.
Injured.
Bad knees. Pull that mic up, John. I'm not
really Remember the Rams?
Oh, yeah, the Rams thing. Remember the Billy Joel song they put to him? Something about the West Coast. Dun, 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 dun. And now he makes a living stand-up routine in L.A.
My life.
My life. Joe Namath was... Mm-hmm, should we do something?
Well, yeah. Well, let's actually play a song and get this party started.
Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and we're off the... what happened?
Whoa. I think your voice skipped.
You know what? It's this iOS 7. We'll talk about that. Yeah. Hi, how are you?
Buttons don't work in iOS 7.
None.
You know what? You people, and by you people, I mean the minorities in the room. You people had no problems downloading the iOS 7, I'm sure.
I didn't.
Grandpa Chick had quite the time.
And I bet you didn't take it personally either, huh?
Hi, thanks for downloading the podcast. That's Jess, my sassy little co-host.
Sassy.
Hi, Jess.
Hi.
Hi, Jason.
Hi. Something new, Al?
And something hands. A steady hand. This is Bob from the Californian.
Oh, it's
Flower Parts. Do you know the Flower Parts?
Of my flower?
They're the...
The parts of my flower? What? No?
Not your flower. A flower.
You got the petal.
You got the pistil?
Pistil.
The stamen?
Stamen.
Thank you, John.
You learned all this from Grease 2, and I know that's reproduction.
Reproduction.
I don't remember
Give
Grease 2.
Give it to me now.
Was there... Is that the word? Is that the lyrics to that?
Let my stamen go berserk. Reproduction. Reproduction.
Honest to God?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody watched Grease 2, did they?
Oh, I did. I watched the hell out of it.
I did too.
Michelle Pfeiffer and the poor man's John Travolta.
Matt Latanzi.
Poor man's Lorenzo Lamas.
There you go. Well, now, Lorenzo Lamas is someone's poor man.
Lorenzo.
He's all
right. Fernando Lamas' son, though, right?
I don't know who that was.
Lorenzo.
Just a good-looking blonde. Haired kid.
Oh, the blonde kid. I thought we were talking about who was your greaser?
She went with the kid with the bad acne.
I know who you're talking about.
Remember, he was in the first one.
Yeah, people are yelling it at the podcast, right?
Yeah, and he had his hair slicked back.
Yeah,
and,
it was a blot. Should I look
what?
It up?
Time out. I'm talking about the greaser, the guy who took John Travolta's place.
It was Jeff Conaway.
No, it wasn't.
She loves it when I do this.
Jeff Conaway was in the first one. I'm talking about Grease 2.
All right, here we go. I'm lucky enough to be
the
sitting...
The curly-haired guy.
Right where I'm sitting in the morning. There it is. It is Michelle Pfeiffer, who looks nothing like this in The Family, the movie that's out right now, Maxwell Caulfield.
Okay.
That's the blonde curly-haired guy. You're not talking about him, right?
I'm talking about the dark-haired curly...
Ready?
Yes.
Ready to be ready to go. That's him.
Say his say his first name first.
Adrian.
Zamed.
Oh!
I think John.
Adrian Zamed. But what else do we know him from?
Adrian Zamed.
Dance Fever.
He was in Dance Fever, and he also wasn't he? Was I want to say like Happy Days or something. Or am I remembering him in Grease? Is that what my problem is?
Was he on Happy Days?
I don't
he
think
seems
so.
Like he should have been.
Did you say Dance Fever?
Dance Fever.
Was
he replaced,
that?
Oh, he replaced like, Terrio.
Did he replace any Terrio?
Yeah.
He was on T.J. Hooker.
He was on T.J. Hooker.
He was Hooker's sidekick, T.J. Hooker.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No? Never watched that. Really? Who was the girl in that with the feathered hair?
What's her face from Dynasty? How much deeper do we have
Heather
to sub-reference?
Thomas.
No.
Heather Locklear.
Locklear.
Okay.
Heather Locklear. Are we done now?
What else was I?
Who else was on here? You know who else was in Grease 2?
Maxwell who?
Maxwell Caulfield.
Caulfield.
You know who else was in Grease 2?
Who?
Was he in Catcher in the Rye?
Tom Selleck.
No, he wasn't.
That's a lie.
That is a lie. I would have remembered that.
Oh, yeah, you like Tommy Selleck. Anything Friends, she can answer.
Grease 2 has a bit of a cult following. People,
Grease and Grease 2, yeah.
Grease 2 has it. Like, I mean, Grease was pretty popular, but Grease 2 has like a... There's a small contingent of people that believe in that movie.
Who was in, according to my research that I've just started just this second, who was in Grease and Grease 2?
The same? The
One actress played the same character.
That what? It's the beauty school dropout!
Yes!
She said with her eyes closed.
No! That's her!
And her name is...
You light up my life.
Are you sure that the kid with the bad acne wasn't in both?
Dede Khan. I wouldn't have known that.
No, who was...
What was her name? What was her character, though?
Frenchie. Who was the guy with bad acne? Who are you talking about?
I think he raced Travolta.
The evil guy in Greece. Yeah.
He raced Travolta, and then he was one of the motorcycle guys.
Sid Caesar was Coach Calhoun in the second one, too. You can't forget him. Dodie Goodman was Blanche in the second one. I bet they do have... Jason, you watch Grease or Grease 2?
No, but I have the returning from the original. I have seven people.
Well, it's
people.
The cousin is returning from the original, right? Was he in the original?
Tab Hunter? Was he in the first one?
He was the cousin that comes over from Australia.
Eddie Deason was in the first one. Eugene Falnick.
Yeah.
Mm. Eddie Deason. He's in 1941, one of my favorite movies. I love that movie.
My dad took me and my brother to 1941. I must have been nine.
I love
that
movie.
We were just like,
what's
going on
over here?
Why is there a Ferris wheel going down the...
Matt Latanzi was in Grease 2.
I don't know who Matt Latanzi is.
He is or was married to Olivia Newton-John.
No. Is he the one that's disappeared?
Yes, he's living in a teepee. Somewhere out in the back of somebody's house. Yeah, have you seen this?
Shut up.
No.
Matt Latanzi?
No.
Is he the one that really did disappear?
I think so.
Like they were on a boat and then they couldn't find him
or
something?
Is he still disappeared?
That's not
no,
with
he's
TV
gone.
In someone's yard.
Is he not with
no,
us
I think
anymore?
He's been. I think he's been like out of commission for like 10 years.
Oh, okay.
Like he disappeared
somewhere.
So this
is a former spouse of...
No, it was her current spouse.
Oh, it was her, well.
Singer and actor Olivia Newton-John... known most for being the first husband of singer and actor the Big O, is
no,
what I call her.
She's known most for Let's Get Physical.
And
Let's
less so for his acting. This is him.
Oh, him,
less
sorry.
So for his acting in films such as My Tutor and Paradise Beach.
Not familiar
Not
with
Not familiar. Latanzi, Portland, Oregon. Let's see. It doesn't give any personal information. They separated in 1993.
No.
2008, he was briefly in the MTV reality series Rock the Cradle.
I saw My Tutor.
Did you see
My
Tutor?
Yeah.
I swear this is where he. This is the guy who
lives. No, this
is
her second husband then that disappeared.
You think it's Olivia's fault?
You think it's a pattern?
No.
Sounds like a pattern.
I feel like you're not listening to me right now.
Matt divorced him?
No, it's not her. It's her second husband disappeared. Olivia. Like they were on a boat, fell off the boat.
Oh, that's
and now he's gone.
Wow, that's a whodunit. Am I right, John?
Google Olivia's missing husband.
Olivia Newton-John.
Having a wedding with Natalie Wood in the bottom of the sea.
Missing boyfriend, 2013.
Yeah, boyfriend.
Oh.
Yeah, see?
Shit.
Yeah.
Olivia Newton-John's former boyfriend, Patrick McDermott, found in Mexico after faking his own death. He faked
that's
her own death
right.
to get away from her. Whoa.
Don't act like you haven't thought about it.
I'm giving it consideration right now. This says the case of Olivia Newton-John's missing boyfriend has been solved after mysteriously disappearing from a... Honey, I'm going fishing. I'm going on a fishing trip in 05.
05. See, so it has almost been 10 years.
Her former boyfriend, Patrick McDermott, who looks a little Asian, not that that has anything to do with anything, presumed dead. However, many skeptics believed the tragic tale didn't add up. After years of searching, a group of private investigators hired by Dateline NBC. Do you know
put
why
Dateline
you're
here? On it.
Do you know why you're here? I mean, think Chris Hansen. Well, Chris Hansen's got his own problem. He were finally able to locate the Korean-American lighting technician alive and living in Mexico.
Damn.
How can you find anyone in Mexico?
I don't know.
Really?
Mexico scares me.
How did he survive Mexico?
Yeah.
The addresses led the investigator to the Mexican Pacific coast near Puerto Vallarta. Sweet. McDermott had been living under his birth name.
Okay, we can probably end this part of the show.
Are you sure this is... Okay.
I was just curious.
I think you glossed over the fact that there's something going on with Chris Hansen.
should I Google Chris Hansen?
Yeah, why not? You're on a roll.
Am I on a roll?
It was not any sort of child.
No,
Chris Hansen.
Underage.
Chris Hansen busted. Yeah, caught cheating on his wife by a hidden camera.
Was it hidden camera? It was not
That's
hidden
what it
camera.
Says.
A hidden camera.
According to the Huffington Post, and they wouldn't lie to me.
No, never.
Next to MSNBC or, no, Fox, I guess. Well, it says here the National Enquirer is reporting. Well, you know, Chris Hansen has an open invitation to come on our show and defend himself.
I could clarify it.
That's true. That's true.
Well, we're a little off track, but that's normal for us.
That's our motto. Come here first.
That's right. Come here first.
I thought that's how you started every podcast. You just pick a random movie and then just start talking about it.
Okay, hang on a second. I need to tell you about our fine sponsors here for the Off the Air podcast. Santa Seal Toilet Gaskets.
Yay!
Where would your toilet be without your Santa Seal Toilet Gasket?
I've never changed a toilet.
There would literally be shit all over the floor. Mm-hmm. You can't have that.
You're right.
Are you serious? Is that how important these are?
These are very important. Santa Seal Toilet Gaskets can't be ignored any longer, Jess. You either, whatever your name is. Mm-hmm. Santa Seal is a waxless toilet gasket that seals the toilet to the floor.
Oh, so you put that over the hole in the floor and then right. you set your toilet on top of that.
Right.
Huh.
It's a revolutionary product because, as you recall, I can change a toilet in 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it used to be a wax ring.
A wax ring. And did you have to put stuff on it?
Yeah, and it was messy and it wasn't
I've never done it.
It wasn't reliable.
Awful. I've seen it done.
It smelled bad and people looked at you funny.
You know, my dad's a plumber by trade, so I've seen this done a lot.
The Santa Seal toilet gasket is flexible, repositionable, unlike those. Once you put those wax rings down, they're done.
It's done.
It's done.
And then you have to buy a whole new one when you...
The unique design of the Santa Seal toilet gasket holds the bolts upright and the gasket in place with a universal fit on any standard toilet and a quick and easy installation.
You know what? It's almost like those mason jars that have the plastic part and it just sucks down and then there's no... Can't get out.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's what it is for your toilet.
And I know how important this is to you, young lady. It's made in the USA.
Yay!
In fact, it was created by two of our neighbors out of their garage right here in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Shut the front door. Talk about shopping local.
Santa Seal toilet gasket available every Lowe's in the country, Home Depot's, your local hardware stores, and of course online at santaseal.com. If you love the Off the Air podcast, if you love us, please go to santaseal.com. That's SANISEAL.com for Santa Seal. The waxless toilet gasket. Get two or three. You never know. Yeah.
Have we mentioned that our guest is John Evans?
Mm-hmm. Our guest is comedian extraordinaire. It is one of the funniest comedians, most original comedians working out there today. Most notably known, I guess, for your scatting of AC/DC. That's how people recognize you.
Sometimes, yeah.
Padoom, padoom, padoom. But you're so much more than that. We all know that.
Yeah.
You know that. But he's also... oh, my God! You two are going to hit it off! Yeah, he was known as High Plains...
Thrifter.
He searches thrift... You know this. He's thrift stores.
I still have something he brought me from a thrift store. It's a dog.
Yeah, Chick's got my
there you go.
Little
my
statue.
Little,
that
my
says,
little overweight statue that says it's a sad soul looking down at the scale. And John Evans gave me this about five, 6 long time ago. And the inscription is, I love you just the way you are.
Now, if for people who don't remember these, people say, what are these things like precious moments? Yeah, they weren't called precious moments. They were called silly sculpts.
Is that what they were called?
And they were, it was a three-dimensional greeting card that you could give to someone. Most of them said world's greatest grandpa and stuff like that. But there's also some off-color ones that I think are really funny.
Do you have a collection?
I have over 130 different ones.
No way.
And I even joined a Yahoo group that exchanges information because there's no actual database of how many they made. So people have to piece it together by saying, because some of them have numbers on the back.
See, this just gives you a snapshot of of what you know about these sorts of collectibles, these knickknacks.
I thought you were going to say a window into my madness.
Well, you could call it madness.
So are you trying to collect as many as you can, or do you give them away when appropriate?
Well, I collect as many as I can. I gave that one to Chick because I was bringing in vintage gifts for everyone on the show. But yeah, it's one of those off. I mean, I collect a lot of stuff, but I also eBay and I'm a collector, a seller, a dealer.
That's right.
Had my own vintage store for a while that was
in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh, it was an abject failure.
Oh.
But people in Pittsburgh, The problem I had is people would walk in. It was in a fairly urban environment because mm-hmm. that's what I could afford, and people would walk in and be like, "Oh, so this is like a throwback shop." Oh, hell no. Hell no. So
they'd be very definite in their opinion of your store, and they would come in, say hi, and leave.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Or they'd say, "Hey, when you get rid of all this bullshit, what are you going to put in here?" I said, "No, this is my bullshit."
So what's the most?
I swear to God,
what is the great white whale out there that you have? Something that you have that you would never part with, or something that you're looking for that you long for, maybe in this world?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask in a different way. Let's say times were hard and you got to sell things. What's the last thing you would sell?
Well, we've talked about this before. I have an old huge console stereo. That half of it is a pull-out record player. The other half is a bar that has a light, lights up. And in the bottom, there's a fake fireplace and fake marble and crushed red velvet doors.
Okay, when she just said, no, she is genuinely excited and would love to see
that. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it sounds amazing, and I'm not into this sort of thing.
I bet you have a picture
of it on
your phone.
Yeah, I've got pictures of it
on my phone. I would have a picture of it on my phone.
I found a really sweet yellow vinyl love seat at Goodwill for $20. Ooh. Bucks. No, not a nick on it.
Nope. None?
Yeah.
Then you just $20 and out the door.
$20 out the door.
How often do you go to Goodwill?
I go there at least 3 times a week.
Yeah.
It's in your blood. It's in your blood, boy.
I found an Archie Griffin autographed football for like $3.
You did not?
Yeah. Sold it on eBay for $50.
He won the Heisman Trophy twice.
I know.
So what is the guideline for you to say, I'm going to keep this and I'm going to sell it?
I've scaled down. I used to collect a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you have like a warehouse or did you keep them in your home?
How many storage units?
Just a one-bedroom apartment. It doesn't look that crazy.
Okay, you saying it doesn't look that crazy means it looks a little crazy, right?
Well, I think your average person would probably walk in and be like, this is like a time machine, you know?
Right.
But I used to collect like salt and pepper shakers and, you know, Slurpee baseball cups and... you know, records.
How about the Dairy Queen? When I hear that,
the helmets.
Dairy Queen Major League Baseball helmets that they put the Sundays in. You didn't collect those?
I remember those.
But they did the same thing with NFL football teams, too. They put Sundays in those for a season, I think. Mm. I'd like to have some of those.
You remember the Garfield cups?
Oh, yeah.
The glasses.
Yeah.
Was that for McDonald's?
I think it was
Arby's, Hardee's.
Arby's, maybe? Yeah.
Can I tell you a true story that's one of my absolute deepest, darkest secrets that I don't like to tell some people about the NFL helmets from Dairy Queen?
This is why I came.
This is true. I had like 4 or 5 Naturally Redskins helmets, and they were, you know, they weren't actual size. They put ice cream in it, and they put a sundae on it, and you'd hold it in your hand, and you'd eat it. So they were smaller.
Oh, my God.
No, hang on. They were smaller.
I know. I was just going to walk us through a sundae, is what I was going to do to you.
Did I do that?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Does this end with you asking for a sundae carrier?
I had a pet cat at the time, and I would put the helmet on the cat and take pictures of the cat.
Where are these pictures?
So I think...
what cat is this?
Number one probably has some of the pictures.
Oh, I thought that was the name of the cat.
Kitties and football helmets.
Oh.
No, the name of the cat was Garbo, not my idea.
Garbo?
Yeah, like the actress.
Oh.
Did you put the little Steve Austin $6 million man rubber shoes on its paws and make them run around?
I might have, but you know, cats don't like to have things on their head like that they can't get off. And she would protest. But that's... it's pretty funny if you shut your eyes. And
it's not a dark secret.
It's not as dark as I was hoping. No? Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm abusing a cat. Cats are jerks. We all know it.
Have you seen the Twitter account that's Stuff on My Rabbit or something? Where they just put all these.
Is that dirty?
No. Oh. It's stupid and ridiculous.
No, I think it might be a real rabbit. Okay.
Oh.
No, it's funny.
I'll have to look.
There's like
at
a
that.
Pancake on its head. There's just all kinds of
stuff
ridiculous
on
stuff.
My rabbit.
I think it's what it is.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah.
Do you have any pets, John?
No, I had some tropical fish that when me and my lady friend split, I basically just said, hey, these are yours now because I'm not moving this tank.
Ooh, it was a big one.
37 gallons.
Yeah. That's pints a pound, so that's going to weigh.
I've moved it a couple times, and it's a gigantic pain in the ass. But we didn't have a lot of pets when I was growing up. We didn't get a dog until I was 16.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, I didn't get a dog until I was 40. So,
wow.
Yeah. That I love dogs now. I'm getting another dog. Did I tell you guys that?
Is this an announcement? Are you?
I'm announcing it right now. I'm getting a puppy. October 13th. October 13th. I'm going to get a puppy dog.
What kind of?
It's official.
What kind of dog?
It's an official. A lady golden retriever.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Good dogs.
I'm going to name her.
I wouldn't tell anybody.
Monkey.
Fresca? ESPN?
No.
Art
after,
Monk.
After Art Monk.
Oh.
Mrs. Monkey.
I was going to say, is that short for something? But yes. It's actually long for
her
something.
Her papers, she's at Casey. Her papers are going to be Mrs. Arthur Monk, is what. And I'm the only one that's going to know that. Does this sound crazy?
Arthur?
Okay.
Arthur. He's always wanted a dog named Monkey, which I've never understood.
I have, yeah.
But see, and that's the thing. He loves a regular name for pets.
That's what I
love.
So I
named it like Carl.
I told him yesterday, I said, it's either going to be Monkey or Carol.
Oh, that's right.
Carol?
Carol.
Oh.
And I love Carol, but then he reminded me of a person that I know whose name's Carol, and I went, okay, that's over.
They say that's becoming more popular now where people name their dogs like human names.
Sylvia.
Like you might have a dog named Steve.
Mm-hmm. Norma was in the running for a little
bit. I like that. Norma? I had a dog named Robert.
Robert, yeah. See, that's a cool name.
I had a dog named Robert, adopted it in July. Turns out it was my deceased uncle's birthday when I adopted it. So my mother said, you named it after. And I was like, no.
Oh, no, 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 not at all. No.
No.
But that is not unfamiliar in your family.
No, my Aunt Susie names cats after dead relatives.
Oh, boy.
True story.
Oh, brother.
See, now you want to name a cat Monkey, don't you? I think there are.
Annabelle, Harry, Benny. Yeah.
Do they have one now?
Yeah, Benny.
Benny. Who's Benny named? Never mind.
Harry's dad.
Wow, that's going back there.
Yeah, well, okay. We're running out of dead people. It'll be
Is it still
weeks.
A blonde cat? Is it still
that's a gray cat.
Gray?
No, there was one. Remember, one was dead on the road when they found it.
I know the title of this, Weirdest Podcast Ever.
Not yet. Okay. Here's this is your aunt that does this?
Aunt Susie.
So have you looked at her and said, when you die, I get to name a pet after you, right?
Oh, I will.
Okay.
I name something after her. I don't know. A bird. They used to have a bird named Chester the Molester.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, and I was just like, "Oh, that's weird that its first and last names rhyme." Had no idea.
Really?
No idea.
We had a guy who ran. We called it the fruit stand, but it wasn't the fruit stand. It was like this open air. I grew up in Brooklyn. No, that's not true. It was sort of like that, but they had fruit and candy and potato chips, and it was like
where?
London, Ohio. It was in walking distance. Shut up. It was within walking distance of the high school, and you go over there, and the guy's name was Chet. Chet and Sis were the guys, the husband and wife who ran the store.
Oh, that's nice.
And we would call him Chester the Molester, not to his face.
Right.
And he was the sweetest guy, certainly was never a molester, long since passed, but that's what we called him.
Thank God.
You know, our corner store, when I grew up, we used to go buy packs of baseball cards and candy and stuff. I was in there one day making probably a baseball card run, and there was a camera crew in there, and they were doing. They wanted to do a.
It was Chris Hansen.
No, they wanted to do a local commercial, advertising the corner store, and they ran video of me at 11 years old, getting a slush puppy.
Ooh, those are good.
Not to be confused with a Slurpee.
No.
Different texture.
Very specific.
Altogether.
Different texture and different, very different logo. I know the Slush Puppy logo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On the cup. What flavor was it? Do you remember?
Probably grape.
Okay.
So I think that if I look back on that, that might have set my show business wheels in motion. I was like, hey, I'm natural in front of the camera.
Right.
This is great.
I played my role. I got the Slush Puppy.
Were you Johnny then or Jack? Or?
My parents used to call me Jay. J-A-Y.
No kidding.
Yeah, because my brother's name was Jim, so I think my mom got confused sometimes. She'd go, just called me Jay and
there
him
you go.
Jim.
Oh.
So that's it? Just you and your brother?
Me and my bro.
Where is he now?
My brother works for a state representative in California.
No shit.
Yeah, he's
really?
He's had some pretty good jobs. Worked for the Department of Transportation out there, and he's got a legit... A family and everything. House. this guy.
He's got some ironclad shit going on, man. It's unbelievable.
This guy did the opposite of what I did.
It's hardcore. It's.
how does he look at you? Is he still just...
Oh, he... You know what? We've had several conversations where I... You know, we've talked about like how comedy can be soul crushing, and doing it on the road, especially. I mean, it's one thing if you're a name, and but if you're just a guy like myself who's, you know, done some nice things but isn't a name, it can be kind of brutal at times. My brother goes, listen, man, I go to my job every day. I park in the same fucking spot. I see the same three people on my way in the door. Mm-hmm. He goes, I really wish I would have done what you did and like took music more seriously and tried mm-hmm. to go a creative route, because my life is, he goes, you might think it's great because you see the right. security and all that. But like mm-hmm. he told me, like, he envies the fact that I did what I wanted to do. So I got to give my brother some credit for, you know, putting things into perspective for me. Because really, if you love what you do for a living and maybe you don't make the money you want to make, doesn't that come out in the wash where you're like, oh, well, at least
you're a rich man.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a rich man in spirit.
Check. That's right. Your soul.
Yeah.
You fulfill your soul.
I have
soul.
A creative outlet.
Sometimes I don't know what I would do if I didn't have something to do that I love to do, and it comes reasonably naturally to me, as I've just constructed that sentence. Thank you very much.
But John, be sure to call your brother this afternoon and say, hey, I slept on a Greyhound for 7 hours right. on the way to Indy today.
You know, that sounded exotic. I might do that just as like a getaway. I might jump on a Greyhound. John has car trouble and couldn't make it to Crackers Comedy Club this week. Unless he took a bus.
Yeah.
And it's not that far, really, Pittsburgh to here.
It's a six-hour car ride. It was 7:50 on the Greyhound.
Yeah, so almost eight. Not that bad. Really.
But I slept the whole time, and I get to read a little bit. And
did you grow up in Pittsburgh?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
California.
Colorado.
Man, I'm just going to keep you on the stage.
California, I did live in. I'm one of those kids, like, my dad worked for a lot of cutting-edge technical
right.
companies.
Oh, that's right.
So
I know.
I was born
now.
In Michigan, lived in Columbus, lived in Cambridge, Massachusetts, Spring Lake, New Jersey, Wellsboro, Pennsylvania, San Jose, California, graduated high school in Oklahoma, started taking comedy seriously in Minneapolis, moved to L.A., oh. Then I met the woman of my dreams and moved to Pittsburgh. And
now, is this the woman that you played baseball with? As
No.
That was
okay. Let's
that
back up.
That ship sailed.
Okay. This but was time the, out. I have okay. So I just want to make sure. Now, is this the mother of your oldest child?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, my oldest child he's 17. My oldest son's 17.
No
and,
way.
And we were married for 13 months. And then,
plenty of time to make a baby, John.
and then the girl I moved to Pittsburgh for, who was the drug and alcohol counselor, which is about as fun as it sounds like it would be.
But what was it about her that was attractive to you?
I was intrigued. Well, she wanted to have a family, and that was intriguing to me because I was, you know, I felt like we had. You know, there's no stability in what I do. So I mm-hmm. saw that, and I was like, you know what? I will move here for her, and we will start a family. And then once I got there and realized that she was, you know, going to micromanage every detail mm-hmm. of my life, including and up to making sandwiches.
Ooh.
Are you sure you want to spoon the pickles out of that jar with a spoon when there's a fork? I go, but I already...
Everyone who knows me knows I'm not talking about you, Jess, but I am familiar with that scenario. Okay. Believe me.
Yeah, there's a micromanaging factor. Yeah. And boy, it really, and when we had the baby, it really took hold.
Oh,
it
yeah.
was like,
yeah.
you know, I do everything right. And I go, well, I've already been down this road, so I think I can handle, mm-hmm. you know, feeding our son.
Okay, maybe I'm confused then. So did we just fast forward from your 17-year-old to your...
My 16-month-old.
16-month-old.
But in between, wasn't there... I remember a Little League baseball story with the fielder's glove.
Yeah, I thought I was part of a Hollywood ending.
Oh, such a great story.
Because when I lived in Wellsboro, Pennsylvania, it was a really small town. My best friend was this girl. We were 9 and 10 years old, and then my dad got a job with Atari, and we had to leave. And it was both of our first kiss, and we were like both, you know, devastated that I was moving. But, you know, you're 11, and you move on.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So 30 years later, I get this Facebook message saying, is this John Evans from Wellsboro? And, I moved back to Wellsboro, and me and my husband just got a divorce, and I'd really like to see you and all
wow.
this. So she came back to Pittsburgh, and she brought... two baseball gloves, and we had a game of catch.
But
was the first thing
because
we did.
Because when you moved away when you were 10 or 11, did you give her your gloves?
No.
That's okay, I thought there was something else.
No, symbolism. Just we were on the same Little League team.
Little League. Okay, you guys were on the same Little League team.
We were on the same Little League team. And I had my going away party at her house, and I used to hang out at her parents' house. So then we started dating again, and it was serious, and there was...
she had kids.
Yeah, she had four kids, and she brought them to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, she must be serious about this, or she wouldn't be bringing her kids to Pittsburgh. And then... And then one day I get this text saying that, you know, some things about you didn't bother me before, but they do now. I mean, you don't have
like when you were 11.
No, you don't have a retirement. You don't have a retirement plan. You don't have health insurance. You don't have, you know. Any, you know, a savings account to speak of.
Sure,
she goes, I can't believe you live like on the edge like that every day of your life. I'm like, well. Yeah, I signed up for this, and
you certainly didn't.
So deep down, none of it was about you and your personality.
No, but that, at least what she said in the text.
It's a mother of four children talking.
I get that.
Yeah, and it might have been also. I think there was some maybe a comment about marijuana use.
Okay.
Which I look at as like you know.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's like taking ibuprofen to me.
It's like mouthwash. You got to do it every day, or you can't deal with life. Come on.
No, I mean, but seriously, it was more of the I need to, and I don't even know why she said that because I mean she's certainly going to soak her surgeon husband for everything he's got. So
you guys would have been fine.
We would have been absolutely fine. And that's what I told her. I said, you know, the difference between you and me is if you were a waitress making $2 an hour, I would still be madly in love with you.
Right.
I wouldn't care,
right?
You know, because that's how I feel about you. But you saying this to me really lets me know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know. That was a tough one because I really did see. I was, you know, I was even.
You were down the road.
I was down the road. I was going to write a movie. Like,
Because
we traveled together. I mean, for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, like over a 5 or 6 year span. And I remember when this happened.
Yep.
And you were so smitten. I mean, you were just out of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
What is it fair to say that you love being in love?
Yeah, I do, but I'm also not going to, you know, I'm at the point now where I'm not going to fall in love for the sake of falling in love.
Sure.
Like I'm picking a little bit more carefully these days.
That's good.
Gotta be on the bench for a little while.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to stay on the, I mean, put me in coach. That's how I feel.
Sure.
Right.
You know, sure. You're a player. You're a gamer. You're an MVP.
Gamer.
You can play any position. Put me in.
So, yeah, so that was a tough one, and I'm over it now, but I still think about it. I'm like, you know, geez.
Sure.
How do you do that to someone?
And then you met...
No, and then, well...
The drug and alcohol.
The drug and alcohol. I met her. That's why I moved to Pittsburgh, and then we broke up, which is, and then that was the window that I met the mom of four.
Okay.
And then the drug and alcohol counselor never really left. She kept texting me saying, oh, I wish we could have made it work and blah, blah, blah.
Hey, so, how about it? Stuff like that.
Yeah. So when the Katie thing fell apart, she swooped in with this line of, oh, well, you know, I don't care what you do and I just love you for you.
Oh, and you wanted that. So you wanted her to
say the exact opposite of what the last
you wanted Katie
said.
To say it, but it didn't matter. You wanted somebody to say it.
Yeah. And then I found out it was a load of crap. So it wasn't okay to
What cracks me up, John, is you were here 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and you did not censor yourself on Bob and Tom,
I know.
You are for us.
Censoring himself how?
Well, on Bob and Tom, he said that
I said she was batshit crazy.
Oh, okay. Well,
and everyone in the room looked at me like,
you know, because
they got it. They were like, you know what? We're going to hit the button, but that's okay, John.
I thought they were.
You don't get that very often.
I was familiar with the term batshit crazy, but it really... Jess brought it back because I never had really heard it a lot, but
somebody said it's really easy to Photoshop blemishes or zits out of a picture, but it's really hard to Photoshop batshit crazy out of somebody's eyes.
That's right.
Yeah.
So she's still batshit crazy, but you guys are friends though, right? Best friends?
Well, I try. I mean, I moved across the street from her so I can be close to my son, who's 16 months, but she's still like very, very crazy. And she's going to school, she's getting her doctorate degree in psychology, which I pity the person that she...
So now my knee jerk, and I don't know her, so I'm just going to just spitball this. So is she judgmental and she, to be... I mean, it sounds to me like she's very much sure of what she is saying, and
but I think when you're in that profession that
you would
it's
have
hard to
be,
turn
right?
it off. It's hard to
oh,
turn
yeah.
it off.
No, I would imagine that's true, and she definitely doesn't even attempt.
Maybe
to turn
I'm
it
having
off.
A lot of trouble with it because I am so not like that. I am so unsure of every yeah. almost everything in my personal life. You know what I mean? And for somebody to sit in a chair and go, well, here's the thing you're doing, and be so sure about it. You know, I don't know how.
I kind of it's I think it's a female thing.
Yeah, but
a part
plus,
of it is because I've got it now to where more than likely I'm right, but I can phrase it.
Whoa.
I can phrase it yeah. and make it sound like you and I are coming up with this together, and I'm eventually going to make you think what I'm saying is the right thing to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, she has a great. She's I've always called her an emotional savant. I mean, she and it's the truth, but she can. She has an ability to.
That sounded very manipulative.
No,
what
no,
I
no,
just
no.
Said.
Well, it is. Well,
it is.
It is.
It is.
But I mean, it was done in such a nice, loving, wonderful way that you had no idea that that's what was happening. You
yeah.
know?
Instead of personally attacking someone, right. well, you're now, like, so you know what? If you could work on three things about yourself,
what
would those three things be?
It's hilarious.
Yeah, and it's
but just, yeah, she's was I mean, but it, that. My second wife, it's probably the most similar to her, but she was a little bit more abrasive about it. She and I were just laughing about this the other night. Having dinner at the house was like being on The Price is Right. I'd come home and she'd go, well, what do you want for dinner? And I'd go, I don't know, how about some steak and potato? Well, now, wouldn't you rather have, how about some pasta and some rice? Wouldn't that be better? And then maybe some spaghetti. Or
I'll take the curtain. I'll take the curtain.
I'll take the curtain. I'll take the curtain. Yeah. And it was just another, you know, and yeah. That's what I evidently.
Well, it's not just me, though. Like, her mom came over. She drove an hour to help me watch Simon while she's going to school.
Great name, by the way.
Oh, it's a great name.
Simon?
Yeah.
Simon.
Yeah.
And so her mom comes over. She takes the liberty of putting a pair of blue jeans on our 6-month-old baby. Okay, so she puts the blue jeans on. Leah comes downstairs and she goes, what are you doing? And she I just thought I found these for him and I thought this would look good. He is not going to be comfortable in those. And she goes, oh, Leah, you know, it's no big deal, blah, blah, blah. Next thing I know, mom, I want you to leave. Get out.
Mm-hmm.
And she kicks her own mother out of the house because she put blue jeans and they couldn't come to I mean, to me, that's something I look at and I'm like, hey, whatever. It looks cute right. in those jeans.
She's a baby. Right. He's a baby. Yeah. It looks like he's having a good time in his jeans.
Oh God, what's his name? The guy in Eastbound and Down?
Oh, Kenny Powers.
Kenny Powers would say, he's a baby. He doesn't even know what planet he's on.
Danny McBride. Yeah.
Don't you love it when you have that point of reference with someone where you're like, man, I think this person's crazy. And then you witness them be crazy with someone else and you're like, thank God.
Oh, no, she gets on the phone with a customer service rep from somewhere.
Oh.
And well, I start, I feel
that show so much about a person.
I feel so sorry for the customer service people.
Yeah.
And she'll get hung up on and she goes, oh, I guess it's a drop call. No, it wasn't. That person does not want to talk to you
anymore.
They
have a bitch button. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's a lot like the receiver and they just click it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's like, it's very telling that like, I find sympathy with these people that cable person.
To be honest, that's when Chick and I lived together and he would have to call a person like that.
Most often DirecTV, I'll
Most
be honest.
Often
I love, by the way.
This was my favorite thing, is that is DirecTV, he usually gave a little bit of leeway, but he opened with, this is Chick McGee, and I have been a DirecTV customer since 1995. Mm-hmm. Like, they know that already, but he wants them to know that he knows that he is one of their probably longest running customers.
A little bit of reinforcement never hurts.
Right.
Hey, that's right. Let them know where I'm coming from. I know where they're coming from.
I've done that. Not that specific, but yeah, I've done that.
Where you say, this is,
I need
to. It'll come up. Well, you know, I've been with you for 12 years. You know, mm-hmm.
I need to make amends to everybody, and I've, you know, that certainly was my behavior at a point in my life. You're absolutely right.
It wasn't bad, but it was just, he went into the situation. Sweating like this is going to be the worst.
It always seemed like no. It's the classic. I found what I was looking for when I called, because I anticipated trouble and bad service,
mm-hmm.
and the least sign of it, I would just magnify it and make it worse. And yeah, it wasn't good.
I see you, Chick, as someone who is laid back. I mean,
oh,
probably.
Wow.
Are you a pretty laid back guy?
Well, not at that
currently.
Time. Not at that. Not when she's talking about. Yeah. About.
You know what upset me last week? There's two comedians that I really genuinely like as friends mm-hmm. and as people, and they're Kostaki mm-hmm. and Greg Warren, who mm-hmm. I've known both of them for quite a while.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. Greg Warren.
Their comedy, not so much.
Greg is such a dick. Greg is such a dick when he orders.
I can't go out with him anymore.
He's awful.
I can't go out with him anymore. I am overly.
He doesn't
look at him.
When we traveled, I would be overly nice.
Well,
and
that
almost
was part of that lunch we had that day.
I grabbed the waitress. Like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. He's mentally challenged. Could you just please? Sure. Like, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. I apologize now. Like, I feel so bad for him. I'm overly nice, and he's just, and I don't know what that is, because that's not Greg at all.
I want to take video of it and show him. These are your last 10 orders.
Yeah. Look at
you. Look at you. Look
at yourself. It's weird that someone that travels that much and probably has some type of idea what a sweet job he has, mm-hmm. and then he sees someone who's busting their hump.
And John, you and I both know this about Greg. You almost have to force it out of him to say anything bad about anybody mm-hmm. that he's worked with ever.
That's weird.
There's
but
one
he goes into a restaurant. Yeah, there's one. But there, I mean, there's
talk bad about.
You go into a restaurant with him, it's like, oh gosh, I
kind of
like.
It's uncomfortable.
I kind of like to go into a restaurant with him because I'm overly nice then to the
yeah,
server.
It makes you overly nice. To
you know,
the,
but
to the
still to this day, and I'd like to say I process it a little better. There's a lot of inner monologue going on, more than there was before. I can tell you this, but if they don't come over and go, hey, hi, how are you? I'll be with you in a minute. If you mm-hmm. sit down and it's like more than like 5 minutes, I get a little nervous and a little agitated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all they have to do is come over and go, hi, we'll be right with you. Yeah. Oh, okay. They can take a half hour then. I'm fine. I've been recognized. They know I'm in the restaurant.
Yeah. I don't know. I would like to have some kind of card system at the top where it's just like, sure, chat it up. I'm in a friendly mood.
There you go.
A yellow, just speak to me when it, don't ask me every 2 fucking seconds if I need a refill. Let me finish a glass of water before you top it off again. Mm-hmm. There's just things like that where it's too, have you been here before? I know this is Greg mm-hmm. Warren stuff, mm-hmm. but it's.
No, but I think I can figure it out.
I think I can figure it out. No, but it's just like, I've got this, you know, I can read this. We're good. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just,
you know,
that's
the worst place ever is Joe's Crab Shack.
Or really
any place that is themed. Because,
well,
you know,
and Ed DeBevick's in Chicago used to be
a possible sponsor.
Used to be this. No, but they would, their thing was they would give you a hard time. Mm-hmm. That was their, they sure. liked it.
What's the,
hey, what the fuck are you doing here? Shit like that.
The
like
giant Dick's dickhead. Last yes. Giant, I said giant dickhead restaurant. I don't know what it's
was
called.
Was it the Dick's Last Resort?
They just
Dick's
put one in Indianapolis.
Yeah. That's right.
They just put one in Indianapolis.
Is there one here?
Yeah.
Oh, I should go.
Where Houlihan's used to be downtown.
But the guy coming to your table on one knee going, hey, you guys been to Joe's Crab Shack before?
And then, oh, yeah.
And
too
then
intimate.
My,
yeah.
Yeah. And then my son orders a, you know, a meal, and the guy goes, good pick, little dude. And then, and then all of a sudden a certain song comes on the radio and they all get together mm-hmm. and start line dancing, mm-hmm. Doing the electric slide.
Johnny Rockets does this.
Yeah.
Too,
while my Mahi Mahi's sitting on a counter back there.
It ain't getting no warmer, is it?
All of a sudden they're the kids from Fame. Mm-hmm. They're going to break out into an impromptu dance number.
We went to one time, and I was in high school, and there was a group of us, and my dad took us all. And my dad goes, this is the loudest place I've ever been.
Oh, you eat loud restaurants.
And then it was that I just never noticed because I was 16. What the hell do I care? I'll talk louder. And my dad was like, we got to get out of here.
Well, you know, I love Cheesecake Factory. I do. They've got everything. Love their guacamole. They're fresh, made it. But I don't know what it's about, the acoustics.
You think it's loud in there?
It's so fucking loud.
Well, it's because it's a bunch of middle-aged women talking.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Maybe that's what it is.
John, how do you feel about all kinds of restaurants do it when they have the birthday songs and they have to sing?
Yeah.
Did you ever work at a restaurant?
Does Subway count?
Yes.
No. Were you a sandwich artist?
For 2 months. Maybe three.
No kidding.
That was... you want to talk soul crushing. The hardest part the hardest part of my existence to date was when I worked 40 hours a week as a shoe salesman and would leave that gig and then go pick up a 5-hour shift at Subway after I got done selling
Where
shoes.
Where were you a shoe salesman?
It was a place called Sports Unlimited, which was a chain. It predates Dick's Sporting Goods.
So they had everything then. They
had
unlimited.
Everything. They had a gun section. They had a fishing. They had tennis and golf.
Did Dick's buy them out?
I know how to string tennis rackets.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
You give me the machine.
Oh, there's a machine?
There's a machine, but you have to know you have to know how to where they cross.
So how do you feel about feet?
You know what's really funny about that is that the thing that irked me most was an older gentleman wanting to get his foot measured. And it would happen.
How long have
like
you been 60, alive?
Yeah. You have a 60, 70-year-old guy says, well, you just measure it. And I'm like, look, I'll bring out a 9 and a 9.5. But you've got to ballpark it for me. Or, you know, they look at it like a free car wash when you buy gas.
Oh, yeah.
Get out that machine and let's make it official.
Here's an opportunity to get a free foot measure.
Honest to God, I can't think of any other reason.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah,
and when I'd question it, you know, they'd go, well, sometimes, you know, as you get older, you're foot spreads out on you. Foot'll spread out on you.
It'll spread out.
So conversely, did you ever pick up a lady who was trying on shoes?
No, but that was honestly
you
perk
know,
of the job.
Read something
here,
somewhere.
Let me get down here on one knee and
take a look up in there.
Proper.
Uh-huh.
That was some fetish or on
did
on
you
her
bring
part.
A wrong size on purpose just to keep her there longer?
There were a few of those kind of women that I was just like, God, I'd go in the back and be like, God, this woman is so hot. I don't think I intentionally kept the transaction going longer.
Are you one of those people that has no problem like just going and picking up a woman? Like if I'm attracted to you and I'm going to walk across this bar and say, hey, let's do this thing.
If she hasn't seen my comedy show, I have no chance. But if she sees the show,
if
she's
go either
seen
way.
The goods, yeah, that's true.
Are you currently in a relationship?
Sounds like
kind
a
of yeah
yeah, yeah. It, so it's not
it's
you're not,
not
back with
no 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 no, no 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 and I'll never go back. I mean we broke up 8 or 9 times, but this last time she made me go see a shrink because she thought there was
wait a
something
minute hold
wrong
up
with
you
me.
Broke up 8 or 9 times
at least.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Oh no, it's
that's
totally
possible.
Insane. Yeah. It's totally insane.
It's very possible.
And
so what we're saying is that we've got like 16 breakups between the three of us.
Something about that. And Jason's been married his college
he
sweetheart.
Doesn't count.
No, he doesn't count.
Well, she wanted me to see a shrink. And so I started going to the shrink. And I kept telling her how like she would kick me out of the house. It was in her name. And she'd, I want you out of this house. Like she would do it twice a week. And I'd sleep in the guest room 3 times a week. Get out of here. I don't want you. And then, you know, you hear that enough times until you're thinking, hey, maybe I should get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And then what happened was...
that shit crazy.
Yeah. What happened was, is my shrink said, look, after she heard this, she goes, I'm going to give you the same advice I give to battered women. She goes, you need to have a plan B.
Absolutely.
Like if you get kicked out without your wallet, without your keys to your car, your phone charger... You know, you need to pack a bag at all times
no
and have
way.
That. I swear
like
to
a
God.
Mob, like a mob boss, have a go bag.
Yeah, you have a go bag.
Cash, a different identity,
right.
Another car, absolutely.
Some fake noses.
So this backfired to your
right.
then girlfriend.
Well, because my shrink was like, look, I mean, from what you've told me, and I, you know, gave her the unedited version, and she said, you know, this is for someone always saying, get out, I don't want you here. She goes, this is like verbal abuse, and it's really like
absolutely.
You don't have to take that. And then, you know, and it was so complicated because we just had a baby. Mm-hmm. And so that last breakup, I was just like, I mean, actually, I moved out for 2 months, and then she roped me into moving back in. And then I was there all of a week before she was telling me to get out again. And then I started looking for apartments and said, I'm just not going to do this ever again. I'm never, ever going to get involved with someone that I'm not 100% sold.
So I feel that whenever I have friends or sisters or whomever say, oh, my boyfriend does this and this is like my goddamn wife, that kind of thing, when people do that. Now I feel like you need to tell me something that you loved about her. Just for...
She's a very caring person to other people. You know, like
You have described my first wife to an absolute T. If I would tell people, if I would tell one of her people she worked with, coworker, what the conversations that went on at our house, she was the nicest, most pleasant, most mannered. You never, but boy, when we got home, it was,
sorry,
it was like, yeah, she'd throw shit. And, you know, it was not good. I mean, it was amazing. But that's the way she treated our daughter. She treats our daughter that way to this day.
This
easy,
has to be.
Yeah.
Easy.
I'm just saying.
Easy.
She needs to know.
This has to be said, too. She was also the first female ejaculator that I've ever been with. So
shut up.
Also known as squirting, if you guys do
there
any
was
web searches.
Well, I have to edit this part out now.
No, you don't.
Squirter, huh?
Yeah,
I can't. What do you do with? Never mind. I don't know.
No. Well, you
I don't want to know.
You need some Visqueen or some tarp, is what. From a practical standpoint, I always look at things anymore from a practical standpoint. Okay?
Not me.
You know, if you're going to have any sort of nice bedroom, and you've got a squirter, you're going to have to
either do laundry often or
do a lot. But what? But it gets to the mattress.
Yeah,
you're
going
to have to put down a pee pad or whatever they call those. That's what they called them when my kids were small. Pee pad, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. But this has always been in
but
debate.
But it was, to me, it's been my, no.
She was caring to other people.
It was, and she, yeah.
Did she squirt with
she
other
was
people?
A unicorn. It was like being in a relationship with a unicorn.
She was a magical creature.
She really was. Fascinating. Because you don't even have to ask if you got off. I mean,
no,
it clearly.
See, I've, how different. We've had this discussion before. Jess and I have had this discussion before. Hang on.
Easy.
How different would relationships
I want
be?
I want out.
Hang
I want
on.
Out.
I'm making a point. How different would relationships be nowadays if you couldn't get a hold of someone you cared about instantaneously?
People would still be married for 60 years.
Or expected to get a hold with in someone mm-hmm. instantly. Mm-hmm. And if they don't.
The expectation.
You fucking freak out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If we didn't have access to everybody 24 hours a day, every second, I say the divorce rate would go down. I would say expectations would become more realistic. And I submit that if women, all of them were squirters, not that I'm a fan, but I understand it, you give me some sort of tangible reaction on their part, you know, some sort of physiological, okay, it's happened. That would be so fucking cool every time, you know?
Well, why is it not just enough? Yeah, to say, hey, this is happening.
Well, because faking goes on. In the words of Elaine on Seinfeld, fake. Right?
I agree.
So there must have been some point in your relationship where this was incredibly satisfying.
Well, it was. I was a fan of it before I met her, and then when it happened, I was like, "Oh wow, you're one of those." And then
so you really
it goes
thought,
a long way. It
sure.
goes. It went a long way in
I sure
in the way I viewed things.
I can't. Can you learn that?
Yeah, I think so.
No, you can't.
I think so.
I don't think you can learn that.
I think
that.
So.
Really?
They say.
It's a matter of practice, I think.
Well, I've heard women say that it's one of those things that can be
because
trained.
It's not urine. It's some sort of other liquid
it's
coming.
It's clear.
Well, it's
maybe a little bit slightly milky.
Yeah, no, it's the natural lubricant
the secretion
of a woman that has the volume of it.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, yeah.
There's got to be a lot of volume,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know much, but I know it's not urine.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother fetish.
I can't believe we're talking about this.
We need to get a lady on here who squirts is what we need to do. Can you call them and be a guest? Would you have a problem talking with a lady who was a self-professed squirter?
The self-professed part is, I guess, the part that I would have the problem with. Because
I'll tell you,
just knowing.
You need
however,
evidence?
No, I don't. No.
Just
it's not
knowing
that
she would be willing
to
say,
talk
yeah,
about
I squirt.
It. Yeah, if it's yours, then keep your squirt to yourself.
Yeah, I had reservations bringing it up. But if you ask me, you know, why I was in a relationship with a seemingly horrible person, I mean,
then
that was
there you go.
Okay, then, well, yeah, I asked, so I had that one coming, I guess.
Sure. No, I understand that. And that would have been, especially if you were a fan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, God.
I don't think, isn't
like
that one of those
lottery,
things
right?
where you don't know you're a fan until you're a fan?
Well, I mean,
as a,
visually.
A porn, obviously,
yeah.
is what made you a fan.
Sure.
But then, but I think it's a whole nother fandom. I mean, like, that's Star Wars fandom
I
when you're actually with one.
I wasn't searching for it, I can tell you that. It wasn't anything like I was.
That's like
I don't think
a
you can
ticket.
Mark that on
say,
a dating website.
That's what I say. It wasn't on the questionnaire, was
right.
it?
No.
Maybe it should be.
I don't know.
Is that too much?
I don't know. I mean, I guess if that's what you're going for and she's wanting to share it, then it sounds like you guys are a match made in heaven, right? Well, maybe not. And,
yeah.
And I mean, then she's fucking crazy. Yeah.
And despite all that, despite all that she brought, she was carrying, she was a squirter. You're a big fan going in. You win the lottery. You find this out. My goodness. But then, wow.
And then the batshit crazy starts. Yeah. Right. And then you go, well, am I willing to put up with?
And now,
as a human being,
right. And you're the mother of my child.
Yeah, that's where it really gets complicated.
So did it get?
I mean, she would come home from school. I've been watching Simon 11 hours, and she's like, "Why does he have stuff all over his face? He looks like an orphan." I'll be like, "Have you ever seen a year old kid eat applesauce?"
Right.
Eat anything.
Yeah. Really.
Yeah.
Like, and how can you say it looks like an orphan? Well, you know, I'm the one that's here. Making sure that he's not banging his head on things and
he's
falling down steps.
My son, whatever he would eat as a baby would end up in his hair every time.
Yeah. I
mean, it would be crackers. There'd be crackers in his hair. That's what babies do.
Yeah, and she would give everyone else this wide berth, but when it came to me, it was like, why'd you do this? How come you did that? And I'm just like, I could not deal.
Man, I just don't know what her... I would be curious, not that it's, you know, life or death, but I'd be curious what her thought process is.
Well, I know, chick.
All right.
She was one of eight kids.
Okay.
She was like six of eight. So I think by six,
she's pretty
like
much non-existent.
Non-existent, right? So she didn't have she had a big family, didn't have much of a voice. So now she wants the voice.
And she's running ruling the roost. And
it's embarrassing. I mean, you know, I'm an armchair psychiatrist over here, but I'm pretty sure that's what, I mean, I talked to my shrinker about it. I haven't seen my shrink since I moved out.
Don't feel the need, right?
But I do want to go back just for a little bit of, hey, here's what happened. This is how I moved. And this is, you know, I'm across the street.
Yeah.
And thanks. Because I lucked out. I got this 60-year-old ex-hippie who's just really cool and, you know, has brought some things to my attention that I feel are worth addressing personally, and but I think the bulk of the problem was not my problem; it was her problem.
Right.
See, and for someone, is that easy for you to accept, or does some of you think, "Oh my God, I really still feel like some of it was, or most of it was my fault"?
No, not at all, not at all. I feel like it really is mostly on her.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a you know, I couldn't be any more laid back, probably too laid back, and maybe that has something to do with it. But I just could not deal with the micromanagement.
You know, you saying that reminds me, I've seen you truly upset, I think. I've known you for, 15, 20 years? Do you know what story I'm telling?
I know exactly what story you're going to tell.
I've seen you truly upset one time. You, and I don't know how this happened, well, we were on a Bob and Tom comedy tour. It was me and Jess and you in my car. I was driving, and you were in the back seat. And I forget where we had been. Let me get the story right.
We had to go over to the shack for something, and we were at the shack for a period of time.
Yeah.
That's correct.
I remember this.
And John, at that time, I never saw you without this. It's a brown corduroy Levi jacket.
Really nice jacket. Yes. Big collar.
Yes. It was good.
Kick-ass vintage.
It was great.
Yeah. You'll never find another one. You could go on eBay every day of your life for the next 10 years. You wouldn't find
an
extra large.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't.
And you left it at the shack, and we took off out of state.
That's what it was.
And I like to wear it on stage, too. So I was going to do...
Uh-huh.
So about 150 miles down the road, I hear this primal scream from the back seat, and he's forgotten his jacket.
That's hilarious.
And as soon as... Because you were leaving from where we were going back home.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what... You were on the show, and then we left for the venue.
So I really think that...
Right.
But so I was going to see you on the road again later, and I brought it, I think, is how it went down.
Yeah, I think that is how it went down. Yeah,
is that it was. But
I thought we tried. I had to ship it or something. But
no,
because
I ended
that's
up
right.
seeing you again. But what I always remember from that is when you realized it was gone, and for about 10 minutes you were like, "I'm sad." Like you were like, "I'm bummed. I'm sad.
I'm really bummed."
Yeah, yeah. And I was just like,
"Damn." Yeah, that's weird, right?
No, I mean, I think that's great to be able to say that and be in that moment and go, "Okay, I need to do this right now."
But one of the things that I really have gotten better at is dealing with stuff. I mean, it's just stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, as much as I love that big stereo bar that's got the fake fireplace in it,
yeah.
I mean, if a tornado came and sucked it into the air It's just a thing. You know what I mean?
That's hard to do, though. I'm with you because I had a room that I called my office, but it was my stuff room. It was just, I would buy stuff and I would put it in that room.
How many pair of scissors did you have?
I think 14. No, seriously, just scissors. I just like scissors. I'm not a cutter. Just I like scissors.
I am. I cut. I cut to feel. Anyway.
My little sister recently had to move in with me, and I had to clean out my stuff room so that she would have a room.
And now the resentment starts.
No, not so much because I feel like she's... Yeah, no, I feel like because of her, I'm able to like rid myself of some of this stuff. But it's still... So we're 2 weeks in, and it's in a big pile in the middle of my garage.
Oh, yeah, she's still got it.
And I'm like, okay, where do I even start?
Organize it, box it up. What you don't really need or want, take it to Goodwill.
I just think I don't want to... Yeah, but then if I take it to Goodwill, it'll be someone else's. And it's not necessarily that I need it or want it. I just want it to be mine.
Yeah.
Box it up. Don't leave it in a pile.
If there are any psychiatrists listening, you can send us emails at chickmcgee@chickmcgee.com.
Yeah, and I'm getting past my attachments to stuff. And I mean, I still buy, I still collect, but not...
What's your number one get these days or collection?
Any old record player, radio, especially from the...
See, now I'm that way about radios. I've got...
But you're the old radios.
I like the stand-up, I don't even know what the names of them are.
The console?
They're not TVs and radios. Yeah. They're just radios from like the 40s, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've got like two or three of them, I think. One that's really big sits on the floor.
But you get real ones. You don't get the ones that look like...
Right. I don't get the ones where it's a USB port. No, I don't do that. Yeah. But but the real ones, I'd like to have...
Out of SkyMall.
Oh, I found a really nice blonde wood German old radio that on the dial, all the things said like Luxembourg and East Germany, West Germany.
Really?
Bought it for $20, sold it on eBay for like $180, $160.
See, I'm
perfect
scared.
Shape,
I'm scared to even...
Tube radio.
The one I love has a tube in it, and it does have a turntable inside.
Oh, okay.
But and it's ancient. But I'm scared to go on like eBay or go Google old radios. I'd flip out probably.
Oh my gosh, you would.
Yeah, they're out there.
John, I think this is a fair question. I think do you feel like you were born 20, 30 years too late for your personality?
Yeah, I think so.
What about that? You believe in reincarnation, stuff like that?
Yeah, I do. Well, I mean, reincarnation. Deja vu. Oh, my gosh. This happened to me about almost a year ago. I drive this Route 30 in Pittsburgh all the time, and I love a brunch. I don't know how you feel about brunch.
Love brunch.
Love me some brunch.
Let you sleep in.
Yeah,
still enjoy.
You might
have a drink while you're at breakfast.
There you go.
A little mimosa.
So I'm driving down this 30, and I drive. There's a bunch of thrift stores, and I'm making my rounds, and I see this restaurant, this like wagon wheel thing, and never noticed it before. And on the sign it said Sunday brunch, and I was like, I can't believe this place has a Sunday brunch. I'm going to talk to Leah. We'll go hit this up.
So you call Leah. Hello? Okay, never mind. I'm kidding.
I hate brunch. Brunch is stupid.
Not only that, you're stupid.
Okay. Get out.
But I still squirt. Okay.
I think this place was called the Maverick or something, but I remember there being like a wagon wheel and the Sunday brunch.
This is so like late 60s, everything
you're describing. Right. So I go hit the Goodwill stores, drive back, see it again, and I'm like, I'm going to mention that there's a brunch spot. I go home and several hours pass. Mm-hmm. Turn on the news at 7 o'clock. I've never noticed this restaurant ever before in my life, I swear to you. Turn on the news. Major fire at the Maverick restaurant. Place burned to the ground that day.
Was it like a Saturday and you were going the next
Sunday?
The next day?
No, it wasn't anything like... Okay. I didn't make plans or anything, but I just found it very weird that I notice it. The first time I ever notice it is the same day it burns down. I think that's like a deja vu.
Do they have any suspects in the burn? Because you only told one person. That's all I'm saying. Could be. I don't know.
How many people listen to this? I mean, I don't want to say anything too revealing.
Not enough.
Not nearly enough.
You know, I got a podcast, you guys.
Do you really?
Well, I'm part of one.
Which, what's it called?
It's not mine. It's called Jim Crenn No Restrictions.
I like it.
Jim Crenn is a radio legend in Pittsburgh. He used to work at WDVE.
WDVE. 20 years.
He and a gentleman by the name of Scott Paulson were like the Bob and Tom of Pittsburgh. And I don't know if they syndicated for a little while or not, but...
I don't think so.
They aren't a team anymore, obviously, and neither one of them worked for the radio station.
Actually, they brought Paulson back when they fired Jim.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I did not hear Paulson. That part. Okay.
Yeah, and he writes for like a newspaper in town. But we're going to, all of us are going to Cabo San Lucas next week for the Cabo Comedy Festival.
That's awesome.
We're going to do some podcasts. I'm going to do a couple live shows.
Tequila.
Are we going?
We were not invited to
the off-the-air podcast in Cabo.
This year will not be in Cabo.
Actually, they said it's the same week. I think there's like an LA podcast convention. Have you heard about
yes,
this?
Yes, I've
heard. That sounds terrible.
The podcast. Yeah,
that
it
sounds
It is
awful.
Because Jimmy Pardo has one of the podcasts out there, Never Not Funny. And I talked with him, last
Saturday.
Week? Saturday. I did not go. I ended up going to that show.
You didn't go see him while he was in town?
I was a bad guy.
A bad friend is what you're thinking.
Okay. A family obligation came up and I could not attend. I am not, I'll tell you off the, mm-hmm. off the air mm-hmm. what happened.
This is it. This is off
this
the air.
But no, he sent me a text. He goes, it would have been nice to see you, but I understand. Or something like that.
So serious.
Yeah. But well, that's what Jimmy is. But his podcast, I think, is around my birthday in November. And I guess... Because Marty Hand has talked about it. About going out there.
The LA Comedy Festival.
Being part of the...
He goes to those.
Everybody just wants to say it, and it's like... Ugh.
I would do it.
I'd go out
else?
There in a heartbeat.
Who else?
Do
Give me
podcast.
Another name. Give me another name.
Maren will be there.
Okay.
Probably.
Carolla.
Carolla will be there.
You're LA guys.
Greg Fitzsimmons, probably. Fitzdog.
Is Bill Burr out of LA?
I love Bill Burr.
Yeah.
I've never heard his podcast. But
is he a New York guy?
I think.
Philly?
He has to be.
He's Philly.
He's not New York. Bill Burr's
I think
not
he's
LA.
New York.
I bet he's LA.
I bet he's not LA.
He's probably both now.
Yeah.
I bet he's got but a little...
But the only way this podcast would ever do something like that is if the organizer himself who founded the podcast would call and...
Get invited?
Invite us personally. And take care of everything as we're flying out there.
Who would do that?
Well, the guy who would that's the only way we would go. I would think.
Oh.
Yeah, it would have to take a huge.
I would only go if Jay Moore was going to be there.
You like Jay Moore?
No.
She's getting me. She's sticking it. Jay Moore, Bill Maher, those guys. You know Bill Maher?
I don't know Bill Maher. I know who he is.
Okay. We have a strict no Bill Maher policy on this podcast.
I'm gonna put the Jay Moore one out there. That's mine.
Okay. You need to listen to the Jay Moore on Maren's podcast.
I hope that he does it.
He's already done it.
No, I mean, I hope that
you need to listen to that.
I know.
Does he come off like a...
like what Jay Moore is?
No, he's very genuine on it. Mm. And I think you might... I don't know.
Bobcat has a great story about Jay Moore.
I can't wait for it.
I know, you're defensive of Bobcat.
Bobcat is going to be here next month,
you guys,
I think.
I know.
And this is fucking happening. I almost edited myself and I realized we're on the podcast. We're either going down there and recording him in person there.
He loves to come up here.
We'll
see.
Yeah,
we'll see,
new trailer for his new movie looks insane.
Oh, I know,
Bigfoot
the scary one.
The Bigfoot home video. Oh,
yeah,
God.
It's half real footage, half acting, and all edited very well together.
Yes,
he makes great movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've loved
And all I love, movies. I'm a big Squatch guy. I love Squatching.
You go.
Squirting
this is
and
an
squatching
affection.
Should be your next T-shirt.
Squirting and squatching. Are you a squirter or a squatcher?
Because I'm in.
Either one, I'm doing it.
We've been invited to go
squatching.
Squatching.
Oh, that's
Remember
right.
The person who invited us was actually here yesterday, chick.
Oh, that's right.
Who was it?
Heather,
who works for the visiting nurse service.
She is a squatcher.
She's a squatcher.
She sent us an email. We read it. It's been a year.
We read it a long time ago.
It's been about a year.
We don't read emails anymore.
Did you see on Twitter? Someone said you need to listen to the Jeff Garland podcast.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Tig Notaro.
I guess she tears him apart.
Evidently, really fucks him up.
But why? In a way that only he doesn't even get it.
Right.
Right.
Garland was on our podcast, and I've since come to grips with it more and more every day. His thing is, whenever he's interviewed on a podcast or a radio show, he picks a person and picks on them. Well, when he was in your seat, John, he chose me. Well, he didn't know that I honestly had a genuine affection for the man, love his work, yeah. loved his work on Curb and Daddy Daycare and this new piece of Gold shit Birch, comedy that's yeah. going to come out and it's probably going to stink. So it would be like if Joe Theismann didn't like me,
yeah.
it would be pretty close to that. And he you know, and it says more about me and how comfortable I am with me than him and what he does in his life. And he just makes a point of saying he's not cocky. He's confident and he's assured in his talents. And if you don't like it, that you can kiss his ass. So
have you ever seen his stand up?
I haven't.
It's in my opinion, am I entitled to an opinion?
Absolutely.
I sort of do what he does. I don't have an act. I just talk with people and hope something funny happens. And most times it does.
But
Jeff, this night that we saw him and
took it to a whole nother level.
You're my witness, and mm-hmm. I can skew things in my brain. There's mm-hmm. no doubt about it. But this could mm-hmm. have been one of the worst nights of comedy I've ever seen.
Strong.
It was insane.
Yeah.
It was,
and I've seen a lot of comedy.
Like I know that probably more than 10, less than 20 people walked out. Yeah.
Got up and left.
Walkouts.
And the only reason they were there is because Jeff Garland was going to be there.
Right.
So, but what do you expect? It's not like you've ever seen, it's not like he's had an HBO special. It's not like he's ever had a Comedy Central special that you would know. So he's actually taking whatever he's done on Curb and selling tickets, and people assume that there will be some storytelling possibly with some jokes, something witty, and that is not what happened.
But the big question is, was he doing stand-up before Curb, and that's how he got on Curb?
He claims that
he
was.
Okay. Yes. But I don't know
we don't know how much work that entails.
I think we're having trouble with definition of terms at this point.
Yeah.
Semantics. Yes, that's exactly right.
John, what's your audience like at a show?
Yeah, what are they like? Squirters?
I don't know.
You've
reached your limit. You're done.
No, yeah, that possibly. But you know how certain girls don't like words like C words?
Like
and
I don't. Jimmy Pardo and I don't like the word
fart.
Fart.
He doesn't like the word
fart. I'm uncomfortable saying fart.
But you know what I'm more uncomfortable with? A grown man that says, I pass gas. Fucking say something else. I don't care what you say.
There's a girl in the building who doesn't like the word moist.
Moist,
it
I know.
My, just,
yeah.
I know that I have a friend who doesn't like the word panties.
Hmm. Yeah, is this a guy or a girl?
It's a girl.
It's a girl that doesn't like the word panties.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I don't. I just realized squirter is my word.
You don't like the word squirter.
I don't know why, but I'm not comfortable with mm-hmm. it.
With
I don't care. I
think it's
because
there's three guys in here.
Is this like the word squirter, the entire process of women squirting, is this like...
Maybe that, the everything you just said.
No. This isn't well known, I don't think.
There's a woman by the name of Cytheria who is...
Of course that's
who
her
is
name.
Who is just incredibly gifted. She really is. I mean, this girl on cue, it's
really
quite remarkable. Yeah.
Can control her.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
Now, does she have an orgasm when this occurs?
Oh, yeah, like shaking and convulsing.
You have to have
it. It's not an act. It's like...
So when does it become an orgasm? When does it stop becoming an orgasm and start becoming, I'm breathing or I'm sneezing? I mean, when does it become more special again?
I have never...
If you do it that often.
I just know that it seems to always happen in sexual situations. I don't know what the...
Okay, I asked John about his audience.
Were you aware of this? Were you aware of squirting?
I've heard of it.
And you knew
See,
what it was.
It's such a mystery.
Yeah, but it's nothing I've never been that interested to really find out the details and who may be a player.
I tell you, Cytheria is the first and only name in this genre.
Yeah, no clue.
Chick's going to need you to spell that.
Cytheria.
I like to think of myself as I'm pretty much... I'm open to lots of things. I can't imagine.
Okay.
What?
All of a sudden, you're open to lots of things, and he's the guy that's always said, "I would never have more than two girls. This is too much."
No, I wouldn't.
That's out of respect.
No, it's not. I don't desire that. I know guys who like crave a three-way. I thought that's like it's a fetish. The two girls and me is not a fetish for me.
No, I don't think it has to be a fetish, but it doesn't have to be a. But okay, what are you open to then?
Well, I would be open to two girls. I mean, I would be open to that, but I wouldn't seek it out.
How many cups?
Huh? What?
How many cups?
Oh, two girls, one cup. Oh, that's the rule.
That's the rule.
But I just, I don't know. I mean,
you seem like you're really interested now.
I'm more interested in what other fetishes are out there that, because I only found out about squirting probably, I'm going to say 10 years ago, 12 years ago.
Okay.
So, I mean, I was a mature, I was a grown-ass man when I heard about it. And I said, they do what?
Yeah.
I think it's just a reflex.
I've never been with anyone who squirts.
Maybe it's like people who can roll their tongue and they can, like, are double jointed. It's like a thing. It's just a thing.
I was with a girl, like, a long time ago that it happened. And it was like, I was, like, probably 21 or 22. And I was like,
oh my God.
I was like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
And then,
wouldn't you?
And then later on, you know,
you realize
the advent of the internet.
The imprinting had happened and you didn't even know it.
I had no idea. It was laying the foundation of a serious kink.
So what else is out there that I'm not aware of and I don't understand?
I don't know. I think you can go
to... Is that
to,
about it?
Just go to YouPorn and look at the categories. It'll cover it all.
Oh, God. Can I use your password?
Giant. How about giant clitorises? That's a thing.
That is a thing.
I've seen one.
And they look like small dicks.
Yeah, they look like small penises. Yeah, they do, don't they?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that's what it is.
I was just going to say that.
That's what it is.
It is what it is. Yeah.
It's what it is.
It's a tiny little dick. Yeah,
yeah, with no
hole. I'm sorry, penis. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's fascinating to me, kind of.
I was trying to change the subject.
So back to your fans.
I get a lot of the weed crowd.
Really?
Young, yeah.
You don't seem like, you've always told me that you have a marijuana card.
Yeah,
medicinal card or whatever, and you're a fan.
Yeah, huge.
But I've never seen you that I know, and I've seen you a lot when you're in town for the weekend or whatever, but I've never seen you.
I've only got like a couple jokes about it. It's not like I do.
I've never seen you high or like,
that you know of.
Can you hide it that well? Or?
Yeah, I can. But I mean, I'm obviously, you know, not
but he's
now.
But
I'm a professional.
Yeah,
chick.
He's in. I'm just saying.
And I only had 20 minutes to get ready when I got to the hotel.
Yeah, so. and I'm not drunk either. I think we all should pat ourselves on the back, okay?
No, I just don't think that. I don't know. You have guys who are like, I smoke pot. That's my thing. I'm going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Chris Porter's like.
Right.
Like, I think he probably gets a better, bigger weed crowd than I do.
Right.
But.
I think that it's. I don't know. I like you better than I do a lot of people. But, I mean, when it comes to that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
When it comes to that and someone who talks about it, it seems like you would be doing it more often
than you do.
Where you are in
your
life.
Are you a daily?
Does that make a sense?
Yeah, definitely daily.
Definitely daily.
Yeah.
Wake and bake or just...
Sometimes, yeah. Not all the time.
Right.
Depends on what I got on my plate.
What you got going on.
Sure.
But if I got nothing going on and there's a football game on and I wake up at 11:30 and the game's at noon, I'm hitting it hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you always have some is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
You're a big football fan, right?
Huge, yeah.
Don't ask him what his favorite team is.
Eagles.
No.
No?
49ers.
I like the 49ers. My brother had a, I'm sorry about this weekend. But my brother had
last
a big
two weekends.
Jerry Rice poster in his room, and that's what I just always for
you know
some
people
reason.
Forget the first couple seasons Jerry Rice stunk.
He didn't stink.
He had
900 yards receiving his rookie year, and
he dropped a lot of balls.
Yes, he did.
Yes,
I don't say he stunk. He was getting acclimated to the pro game.
900 yards
for a rookie.
To call him greatest of all time, I don't.
Who says that?
He has more touchdowns than any player that has ever played
and
in the
his
NFL.
Yards
is that true?
Still
running back or receiver.
Really?
Yes.
What is 180?
No, it's 210.
Is it 210?
210.
And the closest
11
guy
of them are rushing, or like 15 are rushing.
And so, rounds.
But receiving, he almost had 200 receiving touchdowns in his career.
And who's closest to him? Second coming in?
Terrell Owens and Randy Moss each have like 150.
Well, and even yardage, the closest guy is thousands from
him. Yeah,
still.
I mean, he is so far and away the best that ever played that position, it's not even funny. And I know there were different rules. I mean, if you compared him to Lance Allworth or whatever, I mean, I'm sure there were some...
Well, but Lance Allworth had different competition, obviously.
Right.
They put that graphic up the other night about the fastest... Calvin Johnson was against...
And people said, Moss might... You know, eventually, it's a young man's game, and the fact that Rice was still playing at a pretty high level into his late 30s is a real, I mean, is a testament to how he approached the game, which was conditioning. He ran that hill every
year.
Ran the
hill every day, yeah. That's right.
And when he would get young players and try to do it, they would all
come run the hill with me.
Yeah, and they would not ever finish.
I guess. I don't know.
How do you feel about Harbaugh as your coach? I mean, obviously you got to the Super Bowl last year, but
would you like to see the list of people who don't like Jim Harbaugh?
How much time you got?
Personally, right, you know, he turned Alex Smith's career around. Let's not forget.
Kansas City
saying thank you.
Yes, and then we're going to say thank you when that's a second round pick instead of a third when they win eight games.
But I can tell you, Harbaugh's having a little buyer's remorse right now with Kaepernick.
I personally am having a little bit of remorse, and the only reason I know that he's a great player, but we were talking about this. I don't like the fact that he's spending his off season, you know, recording McDonald's commercials and being in American Express.
There is something to that.
There is a lot to that. And you know, last year he was hungry. He wanted the job.
Happening so fast he couldn't think about it.
Yeah, right. And now it's like, I don't say it's remorse, but this is going to be, I think it's a bump in the road. And I still think long term he's got better prospects than Alex Smith, although I'm actually pretty happy for
Alex Smith. I think Kaepernick was, hey, I'm hot now, I better take advantage of it. Whereas Andrew Luck goes, I'm going to be fine in the long run. And he didn't have any endorsements until he just signed something, I think, a month ago or something. So I think Kaepernick was like, I got to get it while it's hot.
I'm going to say, I think Andrew Luck is going to win 5 Super Bowls and become one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
You just throw that number around arbitrarily.
5.
Not 5. Not 7.
Not 7. Not 3. 5.
I love Andrew Luck's game, and I think he probably will win at least a Super Bowl someday.
They're going to win, not this year, but 2 or 3 years, they're going to win a Super Bowl. I mean, because already they've got the greatest quarter. I'm going to say the greatest quarterback right now.
Better than Aaron Rodgers. Wow.
I think so. Don't believe that?
No.
Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the league right now.
Still.
Yeah. The Bengals shut him down. You know that.
Yeah. And the Niners have a great defense.
Well, the Niners still put up
30 points. I mean, on a bad day, the guy can put up 30 points.
People forget how athletic Andrew Luck is for the body.
I found out last week.
Motoring around. Well, but the 49ers are right now, you know, having a lot of growing pains with everything going on off the field.
And, yeah.
You know, Alden
Smith. And, you know, they got a rookie safety who actually had 2 picks his first 2 games.
And I can't believe, you son of a bitch, how Carlos Rogers all of a sudden could catch the fucking ball when he got to San Francisco.
I know.
I bet he dropped 10 interceptions when he was with the Redskins.
Yeah.
At least 10. It was amazing. He'd always have his hand on the ball, but it was infuriating.
Yeah, but that's our weakest spot as corner, and you saw that in the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah,
and part of that was they weren't getting a pass rush whatsoever. At the end of the year, Alden Smith was hurt, Justin Smith was hurt, and those guys aren't getting any older. Patrick Willis isn't getting any younger.
I love those commercials with Patrick Willis.
Yeah, I do too.
When the guy picks the new car and says, you didn't pick strength conditioning with Patrick Willis. What's your problem? Oh, no, I was just, he tries to get around him. Never mind.
I'll say he married to Demi Moore.
Patrick Willis?
Yeah. No, that's Bruce.
That's Bruce Willis.
Sorry.
No. I just said Andrew Luck is going to win 5 Super Bowls. What do you think about that?
Do you want me to be honest?
Yeah.
I couldn't fucking care less.
Wow.
All right. Okay.
No, I'm just saying about that.
NFL.
No, not even the NFL, because I like
predicting
to watch football. No, it's just, it's just like, you know, between him and Peyton and the, I don't know. I want to say that I'm kind of burnt out on
the comparisons and the
on Indiana football fans. How about that?
Wow. Okay.
I love Indiana. I love being a Hoosier. I love all those things.
Well, we all know that being a Hoosier doesn't have anything to do with football.
No,
we
it doesn't have anything to do with football. But in my experience, Colts fans are probably the most fair weather fans I have ever been around.
I can't say either way, because people will say, well, you're a fucking Redskins fan, which is true.
Right.
Absolutely. But I'm for first and foremost, you said this to me the other day.
I said, you're a football fan.
I'm a National Football League. If the Redskins aren't playing, I'm in Sunday all afternoon. If there's a Saturday game, Monday night, Thursday, I'm in. I'm watching. But I will say this, and I love the guy, and I've met him four or five times, but Peyton Manning is the greatest regular season quarterback the NFL has ever seen.
Yeah.
I still take Montana.
Don't you think? But, yeah. No, I said regular season.
I know. In the regular season, I'd still take Montana. But
don't you think Peyton should have won more Super Bowls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to win?
I'd say that's more of a chink in his armor.
Do you think he's
going
to win?
I don't know how he's going to miss, but do I think he's going to win the Super? Who am I? Robert, what's that guy's name?
Robert.
The kid stays in the picture.
Robert Evans.
Robert Evans always asks him questions. Always asks himself questions. Am I the most handsome guy in the world? You're damn right I am. No.
Is Manning going to win the Super Bowl?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
See, here's my thing, and I wasn't going to.
So you think
Luck will win a
Super Bowl before?
Oh, absolutely,
Manning.
Absolutely. I said this off the air, and I've never said this on the big show, and I hesitate to mention it on the podcast, but I stand by my belief, and I stand by this statement. Matt Ryan last year took the same circumstances that Peyton Manning had, and Matt Ryan won that game, and the Broncos lost theirs. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because you can sit here and tell me, well, the Broncos secondary let them throw that ball right over the. Uh-huh. Yeah, and the Falcons did the same thing, and Matt Ryan came right back and won the fucking game. That's all I'm saying. But there's people will not blame Peyton for anything.
No, you're right.
Not a thing.
Like he's Zeus or something.
He's great, and he's wonderful, and he's a good guy, and a sweet man, and a great football player. But I don't know how that happens.
What it is how he's going to be playing at the end of the year. Because like right now, season's fresh, it's new. He's an older guy.
He's 38.
So by the time, we'll see how he looks week 15. And then you can evaluate whether they're going to make a run at. But he's surrounded. This is the most talent he's had around
badass
him.
Badass team. They got great running backs and
really and great with upside too. I mean, Monty Ball hasn't even really started playing.
No,
yet.
That guy's crazy good.
And they got a new tight end, and then Demaryius Thomas and Decker. That team's pretty loaded. If Von Miller could stay out of prison.
Hey, Josh, your thoughts on Demaryius Thomas?
I wish I knew this much about anything.
He didn't even say Wes Welker.
I didn't even say Wes Welker. That's how loaded they are.
Yeah.
I wish I knew this much about anything.
I'm going to say this and about football, and then we can drop it.
No, that's fine. Don't.
I am maybe never playing fantasy football ever again.
I can't do it. I've never been able to.
You can't be objective. You can't enjoy Sunday because some third receiver scores and you look at the thing and I'm playing this guy this week.
The 49ers could win by two touchdowns and then
the wrong guy scores a touchdown and I'm angry.
CJ Spiller fumbled on the two. Yeah. No, you don't fucking need that.
I don't need that.
No.
It used to be so important to me.
Oh, you used to play a lot?
Well, I played before the internet was invented, and we'd get our stats out of the USA Today.
Mm-hmm. No way.
Back in
89. Back in the dark ages.
Yeah.
I did that with baseball, yeah.
I did that, too. Mm-hmm.
Did you have Mark Rippon in 92?
I probably did have Mark Rippon.
That's a
Derek Fenner.
Oh, Saints?
No. Seattle.
Oh, Seahawks?
Number 44.
Running
had like
back,
12
right?
one-yard touchdowns one year. I swear. And his points were worth just as much as if they'd been 90-yard touchdowns. Yeah. So
I don't know what we're going to title this one. What
we
do you
don't
think?
Have to title it anything.
Every fucking time he does that.
Thank you, Jess.
You're welcome.
Thank you, John Evans.
Oh, man, it was a blast.
John Evans, what's the name of the podcast?
Jim Crenn, No Restrictions.
And what about all things John Evans? Where do I go on the internet?
JohnEvansComedy.com.
Oh,
I'm on the Facebook, a thrift store guy, at Twitter.
There you go.
Everything you wanted to know about John Evans. We'll talk to you next time. This has been the Off the Air Podcast. Tell me how.